You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
Hey, it's your boy Tom here and we are back. Boys, did y'all hear about this? We are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast, but we have caught somebody that is trying to come for our crown. Somebody is trying to come for the Cinnamon and Sugar title. And I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but I don't know if we have a chance because LeBron James and J.J. Redick are starting a podcast and it came out today. It's actually one of the most important days in history. If you really want to, you know, break it down. It came out on also my son's birthday, so now, unfortunately, my son's birthday is the second most important thing that happened on March 19th for me. What about you guys? Have you guys listened to LeBron James's podcast?
D, I think it's time we fire time and get a new host since he obviously doesn't care about this podcast.
He was going to go into that monologue, bro. That was a horrible Saturday Night Live monologue. Like, you just like, ooh. The moment he mentioned LeBron James, I just don't understand how you figure out a way to weasel LeBron James' name in every conversation we tend to have on this podcast, Tom. Like, we're going to have to ban those.
He's obsessed. He's obsessed.
It's ridiculous. It's getting out of control now, man. It's ridiculous.
I do what I can. Like, it's
okay, so speaking of LeBron James, how are the Lakers doing out west?
Oh, they're in the playoff picture. They're in the playoff picture.
Hold on. They're in the play-in picture, not the playoff. Play-in.
Yeah, that's the playoff picture, baby.
Nobody calls that the playoffs. That's the play-in to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, but hey, that's the playoff picture, baby. Come on. And put some respect on their name. They're the 9 seed right now. Thank you very much.
Might as well be the same thing.
Yeah. Well, come on. Wait. Are y'all picking that up on y'all's end? Can you hear?
What we got?
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. Want to make
Of course I make my daughter sit in the back so the Uno belt can sit up front with me.
Oh, my God.
I'm the Uno champ.
Oh,
of course,
God.
I'll play a draw 4 on my kid.
Tom, why are we doing this?
Of course
this?
I make my husband.
What are we doing?
Drive me around.
I think it was paid by the NWO.
I'm the Uno champ. Of course, sometimes my kids ask for an extra bedtime story. Sometimes they ask for an extra game of Uno.
Decker, it's not your turn.
Uno champ. Is it the elderly? I'm just kidding. It's my parents. Out here enjoying a nice sunny day, getting some sun with this belt. My house peasant doing some work.
Man, the NWO done got us,
D'Angelo. Yeah, NWO's back, baby. NWO is back.
A paid advertisement from the NWO to talk about the Uno champ of your household. Once again, we've heard that the champ is here. Wow. How does it feel to be living with such a legend in your household when it comes to Uno?
I don't know.
He's speechless.
I don't understand why you're attacking me. I really don't. And I'm really trying to hold back right now. Because I don't want to make this about Uno like you make the podcast about LeBron James. So I'm trying to remain calm and I'm trying to remain like quiet because, first of all, Gary has held the title one time. That was by accident. It was by accident, complete accident. There's a lot of people on this earth that are here by accident. It's not how they got here. They've done great things when they got here, but they still got here by accident. That's how he won the championship that one time. It was an accident. Oh, probably should have held that one in. They let it out. And boom, he wins the championship. All I'm saying, Tom, is she got lucky, bro. It was Tom, given to her.
Tom, I got a question for you.
What's that?
He's talking about I got luck and all this kind of stuff, but yes. He did give me a compliment by saying luck sometimes do great things, because I believe we've had three belt defenses. Two people have won that belt out of those 3 weeks. And I don't think anybody has touched the quality of my videos that I made. And I'm very little disappointed with that. I know the person that was in between the two Reese's wins didn't even post anything. So
well, I didn't post anything because it was a birthday gift to my wife, Gary, that I wouldn't be who I am, and that is the champion of the entire universe and world. I held that back because I'm a very humble guy. Okay, and the fact that you bringing this over to the podcast lets me know that you can't keep things secretively secret.
Don't worry, I got a song for you.
Uh-oh.
Unbelievable. It's probably going to be a Taylor Swift song. That's probably what it's going to be. And we haven't...
Here you go. That was for you for saying you're so humble.
So humble. So humble. And he continued the gift giving to his wife by giving her another championship reign, apparently, right?
Exactly.
No. That was a bonehead move by another player at the table. But again, I don't want to discuss that, Tom. I don't want to discuss the fact, because it blows my mind that obviously last week I was a champion and we didn't talk about it. I never mentioned it. I had the title.
We're gonna need to cut that from the podcast, Gary.
All right. What? What do you mean we need to cut that from the podcast? I was a champion, and yet here we are, and you guys are talking to me like this. It just blows my mind. I am something like Randy Orton. I'm something like Ric Flair. I'm something like John Cena, as it means how many times I've held the title.
Hey, I got a song for you. The crumble is by far the most crumble is, but I act like it
tastes bad. I love it.
I mean, you know, so, some people like, you know, Gary and Tom, they settle for second best or third best or fourth best in LeBron James, but I'm the Michael Jordan of Uno.
All right, so let's get off the Michael Jordan. You don't want to talk about Uno, so let's talk about something more dear to your heart. Memphis backing out of the NIT because they can't make the tournament. What is your thoughts on that?
Gary, first of all,
all the shots early. Is it D'Angelo's birthday or something? Because it feels like a D'Angelo Rose one. Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't understand, Gary, what the problem is. If we obviously have talent that's we're way more talented than the NIT. Yeah, we have nothing to prove in the NIT. I mean, I know it's not invited to the tournament. We wasn't good enough to make it to the tournament because now if you look back at our season, Gary, we started off red hot. And then I'm pretty sure something internally fell through. We got sick and weren't able to pull ourselves out of the situation that we put ourselves in. So as a result of that, I've never had a problem with schools pulling out of NITs, especially my team. Now, here's the thing, Gary. What do we have to prove? If we beat every team we play in the NIT by 2025, we were supposed to do that.
Not this year. Y'all have trash. But I can't say much because Louisville's bad, too. So Louisville didn't even make the NIT. So.
Yeah, but the fact that we pulled out, it lets you know, like, Back in the days, Gary, Memphis, we would take a NIT, we would take a tournament, we take anything that we can get at the time, but we've progressed so much. Louisville obviously degressed, but we progressed so much, Gary, that we are now turning down NIT bids. You got to remember, Gary, just a couple years ago, we won the championship. So why go back and do something that we've already done? We want the NCAA championship. That's the one that we want to hang on our wall, not the NIT championship. We can do that all the time. I mean, that's like bona fide practice for us.
Yeah, I don't see an NCAA title in Memphis' horizons anytime soon, whether in football or in basketball.
And just to be clear, you said a couple years ago, you realize that's about 16 years ago now?
No, it wasn't 16 years ago when Memphis won NIT. They won it with Penny.
Oh, I thought you were talking about winning the
No, NIT. We did it a couple years ago. Wow. Oh, okay. We pulled out of that. I wish you'd pay a damn attention.
He doesn't listen.
Jeez, man. But that's why we pulled out, because we've won that before. That tournament, that invitational is not for us, Gary, because we've been there, we've done that. The goal and the main prize is NCAA or bust. And I like what Penny's laying the gauntlet down. And I think this wasn't a university call. It was more so a Penny call, because he's had so many ups and downs with that team, Gary, a lot of ups and downs. And as a result of having all the ups and downs, I think this was his way of controlling a team that could have potentially got way out of hand than what it already is. We don't know what the inside implosion is at the University of Memphis and that basketball team, because they were what, number 8, 6, got as high as 5 in the polls, and to where they were completely out of it and couldn't play basketball to save their lives. So,
and just for reference, Memphis has never won a national championship.
Yeah, I thought he was saying
lost.
I thought he was saying when they got to. I thought he was talking about when they got to the national championship against Kansas. Okay. Yeah, that was in 2008. I thought that's what he was saying. Like, we've been there to the big one.
Okay.
Why would we go to the NIT, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, that's been a while. That's been a while now.
Yeah. Well, no, I was. The point was, we won the NIT before. Why go back and do it again when we just a couple years removed for it? It's very similar to Alabama. You think they turned down a non-BCS bowl game? You damn right they'll turn down a non-BCS bowl game. Because they feel like they, as a university, are better.
Maybe not anymore. That Saban's gone.
Because
I don't know if they'll still be that. They'll still be Alabama for a year or two, but I think they're going to dip a little bit without Saban.
You know, that's funny that you say that, Gary. Can we talk a little college football right now, or do we want to say this for the NFL and all the transitions and transactions that have gone on?
Can
I sit right here in college for a little bit here?
Go ahead.
All right. So my question to you and my question to Tom is do you think Michigan and do you think that Alabama are going to continue their winning tradition without the head coaches that they had leading them into the season before? Is it the kids or is it the coaching? Is this a classic case of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick? Because we all know that the backup coach, I'm not sure, was he the offensive coordinator? He stepped in while Harbaugh was away, and he won the 3 or 4 games that he needed to win. And then Harbaugh came back, and they ended up winning the national championship. So now he's now the head coach. Harbaugh is now left, just kind of catching everybody up to speed. My thing is there a fall off at Michigan, Gary, or does he hold all those kids together and Michigan keep Michigan because it's the university and the fan base and not necessarily the coaching?
I do think Michigan will probably be better off than Alabama to start because of the coach was in-house. Makes it easier because the recruits already know him. They don't lose as many recruits because of that. The fact that Alabama's coach – it was Washington's coach last year. He's going to try to recruit from his Washington, but none of the Alabama people know them. So it's going to be a whole new coaching staff. And he may keep some. So I think that will probably play a factor in some, a lot of players obviously transferring from Alabama. And I think that will take a hit for a little bit. But I think he's a good coach. I think he can get him back. But I don't think – I think they will probably take a bigger hit than Michigan will, because Michigan's still in-house. So everybody still knows him. You don't really lose anything as much as you would if you had a new coach coming in.
What about you, Tom?
I think –
I want you to give me something about Alabama.
Yeah, I think you're going to see – well, you know, it's hard because – I think the landscape of college in general is changing, whereas before the coaches played a very, very important role. I think they still do, but they're not going to have as much power as before. Whereas before, a coach could discipline with the fear of not playing. Whereas now, you know, if you're going to say that I can't play, I can just leave. So I think that the power that these coaches had is going to be going down. And I think, I don't know, did y'all see, I don't know when this was from, but did y'all see that clip of Nick Saban giving testimony about his wife saying about how sad she was that when these players and families come over, she's sad that they don't ask about, you know, what type of man that they're going to build their son into, or they don't care about what the coach can do for their son. Now all they care about is the money they're going to get paid. Did y'all see that clip?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, and you know, he said he was like disheartened by that. And to me, it's hilarious because it's like, oh, so you're mad that you're not the only one getting paid now because all the kids are actually making money the same way you were. I don't know. I think it's the landscape is changing. The power is shifting somewhat to the players, at least for now, until something happens. So I think you're going to see a difference, obviously, just because when you have the name like that, I think that you're going to get more recruits. But as far as like the actual play on the field, I think it can be hard to say that Nick Saban, and I think that's part of why Nick Saban left, honestly. I think he knows that he's not going to be able to have the same impact as he's had in the past.
So I got a question for you all then.
Hold on, before you get there. Let me answer this question. I'm gonna tell you that Alabama's still gonna be the powerhouse that they're gonna be. Michigan is still gonna be the powerhouse they're gonna be. It has nothing to do with Nick Saban, and it has nothing to do with Coach Harbaugh being at those universities now. Right now, all that matters is if you have enough money to pay the players. And both of those universities do. They both have the money to pay the players. Here's the problem, though, and this is where I can foresee people running into issues. And I can't believe Nick Saban's wife would say that, because when you go to work, no matter what your job is, whether it's an electrician, whether it's a promoter at a club, whether it's a football player, whether it's whatever it is, you don't go into that job. I'm going to say that again. You don't go into that job and say, hey, when I leave this job, I want to be a better man. Or when I leave this job, I want to be a better person. When you show up to work, you're showing up to that job to in turn make a either hourly wage or a whether you're contracted, whether it's whatever payment method you decide to choose, you know, that's what matters. And it blows my mind that here in 2024, we still think that it's coaches and that they're gonna dip. Well, with that being said, and I'm gonna transition a little bit. Joe Pa, he'd have never made it in this system. Nick Saban, he'd have never made it in this system, Gary, and that's why he retired. Harbaugh, he'd have never made it in this system. Here's why, Gary. All those coaches, old school coaches, Gary, that believed in, I can control a player, again, Tom, with playing time. So now that the times have changed and it has shifted to the player, I'll give you a case in point. And this is what I love about NIL deals, Gary. It's what I love about NIL deals. The people that are giving these NIL deals are giving multiple NIL deals because they're also giving them to the coaches. So in the event that the coach decide to make a move to bench a player that I've given NIL deal money to, then I got to sit down and have a conversation with that coach. Like, look, man, I understand he got in trouble, but do you realize how much money I'm paying you and how much I'm paying him? And you going to tell me that you getting upset with him because of how he feels? There's a lot of money involved, Gary. And in 2024, that's the key. That's cash cow. That's how Colorado is getting these players. A lot of people think that these players are going to Colorado with Deion Sanders and he's not paying these kids. Yeah, okay. Okay, not him himself, but he's not getting NIL deal money for these kids. Because if you look at the money that's being generated by the top athletes, his guys are up there, regardless of why they're up there. And that equals marketing dollars for other players. And with that being said, that lets us know that Michigan and Alabama will always be in contention for those top spots because they have the money and they can afford to pay the cost to be the boss. And I'll give you an example on how I know this, Gary. Because if you look back at Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr., they was going to pay him how much, Gary, to stay in college?
20, I think.
Million. 20 million to forego the NFL. Nobody in the National Football League.
And he's dumb for not taking it.
Gary.
If that's a legit thing, he's dumb for not taking that $20 million for 1 year. Because he might make $24 to $26 million over 4 years. And then he could have got drafted the following year and get that.
I ain't going to have this fight with you right now. Okay, I'm going to let you say what you got to say. I'm not
going
right. So to. That was going to get me out of character.
Well, I know you're a big NIL fan. I'm not against NIL. I just think there has to be some kind of structure because it's the Wild Wild West, and I don't like the Wild Wild West. I don't like Westerns. I know you don't like Westerns either because of Peyton Manning and his. I've been thinking about this quite a bit because I had a bunch of people ask me questions about this and ways to fix the NIL aspect. So before I give what I would think you could do to fix things, I want to talk about some of the negatives that come from NIL. And then obviously the positives, the players getting paid. That's a positive thing. That's 100% positive. Players deserve to get something, but also it is not a job. It is not considered a job. It is still school and all that kind of stuff. So it's not actually considered a job. So when you're talking about going to work, it's not considered. Yes, it is.
Are we getting hung up, Gary, now on semantics?
No, I'm just saying it's not a job. All right. So here we go.
Okay, so let me make sure I get this straight. So if what you do for a living, people profit off of, that's not a job?
It never was considered a job before. It's only a job now that NIL is being paid.
No, it's a job now because you get paid for it.
But it's still supposed to be amateur sports. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's why NIL has to figure out. There has to be some kind of like guidelines. So, and I'll get to that. I'll get to what I think it could be. So okay. I do, again, positive. NIL, I'm glad the players get paid. When we were playing D, that we definitely should have got paid more than what we got paid per month. We weren't getting paid enough to survive a month, even on scholarship. That's why I had to get student loans and stuff, even while on scholarship, because it wasn't enough money to provide for me to eat and live off campus and stuff like that. It just didn't make sense. My recommendations for the NIL, well, first, I'll give you one thing it's causing. You're going to start seeing NIL, you're going to see less of the good players being stars in college and going to the NFL. Because I'll tell you from my firsthand experience of me, if I was getting paid $8 to $10 million, I would have never made it to the NFL. I can promise you that right now. If I was getting paid $8 to $10 million NIL money in college, I would have never had the drive to make it to the NFL. My career would have ended at college. Would I have been content with that? Probably, because I got $8 to $10 million. But like, you're going to see a lot of that happen, I think. You're going to see a lot of players get paid, and they're not going to have that same drive to be the best player they could be. There's still going to be some that are, don't get me wrong, but you're going to have some that aren't going to care. And you're going to see that happen to players. You like, for a prime example, there was a QB that signed with Texas. I think it was Texas, like 3 years ago. Signed a huge NIL deal. As soon as he showed up, he retired. He quit. They owed him $5 million. He quit football. He was a top recruit. But he quit football. He's like, nah, I'm good. I got this and that. And they couldn't take the money back. It was either Texas or Oklahoma, one of those two. But, like, so you literally saw that happen already once. Now, will you see players play as hard and care as much about getting to the league? You'll still have some, but I think you'll lose some. And we probably won't even know who those players are because – they're not going to shine like they normally would if they were trying to get to the league because they're already getting paid boatloads of money. So things I think you could do to fix it. So I think your first year, you get no NIL money. I don't think you should – your freshman year, you shouldn't get any NIL money. I think you should have to earn that NIL money because that's what it's based off of. If it's not a recruiting tactic, it should be based off of you getting – doing stuff – your first year, then you're able to get it. Because if it's not your first year, then now it's just recruiting. You're just paying for recruits, which is not what NIL is supposed to be. It's supposed to be compensating players for the name and likeness, not as a recruiting tool, which is what it is. So that's where it's the Wild Wild West. Because frankly, Louisville and Memphis are never going to compete in the NIL field, ever. We don't have the money as a college. So if you're not one of those big colleges, you're going to get set back. And then as you see, Florida State and Clemson are trying to leave the ACC to go to one of the bigger conferences because it brings more NIL money, which will handicap all the people in the current ACC, which is us, and then we'll handicap Memphis, who – and what would are y'all in what? It's not conference.
AAC.
AAC. Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like – it's going to handicap the other colleges, and it's going to turn into just three big conferences, which is whatever, if that's what everybody wants, and so be it. But I think there's a way you can literally not pay NIL to after their first year, because then it's not a recruiting tactic, because then it takes away from the recruiting, okay? Number two, you're talking about coaches. Coaches can leave at any time. So you put a stipulation on that. If a coach leaves for another job, after he's recruited all these players, whatever his first year salary or whatever his average salary per year is, he at the college that he's going to or him himself has to pay that to the student athletes that he left. So that way they
split okay. up on I like that. I like that idea.
Say so that way it here. You may not see the coaches leave as often, but if they do, they're still free. Now the players are getting compensated for him leaving because they came and committed to that coach. I also think if you transfer, you should have to sit out a year because it's crazy. There's literally a tackle for Alabama that just transferred to another college, and he's been there for spring football, and he's transferring back to Alabama, and he's going to be allowed to play. Like, that's outrageous to me. Another thing would be if you want to pay – players NIL in the first year, then this is just as a benefit because of all the other students that have to pay it. If you're getting NIL money, then you reimburse the school for your scholarship. So you're no longer a scholarship player because it's now a job. So now your scholarship's not paid for. You reimburse it out of your NIL money. Because if you're getting all that money, you pay for your own scholarship.
So based on this last one, Gary, I want to make sure I'm on the same page as you. Based on this last one, you just created it into a job.
Correct. That's how it was treated. Yes.
Okay. So you.
So that would say if you wanted to pay players the first year, make it where it's a recruiting tactic. Well, then if you get money your first year, then you have to pay back your scholarship. So that way it can go to somebody else that's earned it versus you getting paid to come to this school.
Well, now here's the thing with that then Gary, that's buying scholarships now.
But that's what they're doing now. So that's why I'm trying to find a way where it's not paying for you'd be paying for your own scholarship back to the college. Because obviously you're paying that money by somebody else.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Like, right now, universities are buying players.
Well, universities now aren't the boosters and the companies that universities aren't, end quotes.
But based on this last rule, in terms of, so if I wanted to create another scholarship for another player, because we've all ran tight, I can just say, hey, I'm going to pay you $250,000. And then now you got to get that scholarship back, and we can get that scholarship to another player that we can look at.
No, that's I would say you still keep the scholarship. You just pay your scholarship because you're getting NIL money instead of getting it for free.
Okay.
Because you know, as players, there's already an issue with people that just went to the school. They already did not like the athletes because they were getting them. You're getting all your food and all this stuff. Now you're getting NIL money on top of it. Now, if you make them pay back your scholarship, that shows, hey, they're getting NIL money. They don't need the scholarship money because now they're getting all this money. I was trying to figure out a way for it not to be the Wild Wild West, because that's the way it's literally, you're paying for recruits now. You're not actually, it's not for name and likeness. It's to get them to school.
I do agree. If these guys are making this kind of money, that you probably should put the scholarship money somewhere else.
Even if it's in other sports, it doesn't matter where it goes.
Right. Yeah, just that's somewhere.
To help the school, because the kids don't need it at that point because they're getting paid.
Right. If you're making millions,
y'all have lost y'all mind on here right now. I can't believe this is really happening right now. I cannot. Are y'all okay?
You're telling me if you as a freshman are offered $7 million to come to the school, you're fine. You should still get your scholarship paid for.
What you're saying right now. First of all, let me make sure you're done. Are you done? That's all you got?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible job, Gary. Terrible job. I feel like you could have did a better job at coming up with some better ones, because this the last two really stuck me in my side, Gary. They really did. So I'll start on the first one, since that's fresh in your head. The returning the money at the NIL deal money. So this is
No. Just paying the scholarship.
Just paying that you the scholarship. Were on.
Yeah. So on. It may, for 4 years, if you're there, it may be $800,000 out of your $8 million you got.
No. So not everybody's making $8 million. So
yeah, I'm just saying whatever it is.
$800,000? What school are y'all going to that's $800,000?
I don't know what a scholarship is.
The number is not as important as more so the concept. So
well, you could prorate it depending on what they get for NIL.
So what I'm saying is like, how is it activated? This is what I mean by this. And this is the only reason why I think it's a horrible idea. When I sign a national level intent, I'm signing that national level intent with the hopes of making NIL deal money, not necessarily making NIL deal money, because a lot of these players, Gary, are no-name high school players that are coming in and making a name for themselves in college. So with that being said, this national level intent, like, I can't tell you how good I'm going to be. I can't. Because if you look at NIL deal money like as if you and I was coming through, Gary, I wasn't a five-star athlete. I didn't have all the hoopla all these other schools had in high school. But so when I got to the university, I would have had to have earned my NIL deal money.
Correct.
So with that being said, you're telling me now.
So you just made my point.
You made my point. This is what I'm saying, though. You're telling me now that the last 2 years, if I would have earned $8 million in the last 2 years, you're telling me that I needed to pay for my scholarship those last 2 years that I was on?
No, it'd only be when you got NIL money. So, like, say you got it year two, then you would have to pay for your year three and four scholarship back because now you've got NIL money. If you don't get NIL money, you don't pay it back. So, but you did somewhat make my point in the aspect you said – you had to earn NIL money. You may not be getting NIL money, which is fine. That's why I think the first year you shouldn't be able to get NIL money until you're going into your second year.
I'm getting to that, Gary.
Because then,
ridiculous. Because that was fucking ridiculous.
Because again, it takes away from the aspect of You're paying because, again, prime example, the Miami quarterback. He committed to Miami because he was guaranteed as a senior in high school because he was guaranteed $7 million in NIL money. That is the only reason he committed. So then he decommitted because Florida said, we'll give you $10 million. So he committed to Florida. But then when he signed his national letter of intent, Florida went back on what they said. So he got out of his letter of intent and signed with Arizona State. Now he already screwed himself because he should have just stayed at Miami for $7 million. But he got greedy and then he lost that. I think he only got like four at Arizona State. But like, he had $7 million as a high school senior just to sign at Miami. That's paying for a recruit. That's not anything he earned. It earned it at high school. That's why I said when you were just talking about, oh, you got there and you had to earn it. That's different than somebody getting paid before they even signed just to go to their school. That's right, a whole different thing.
But that's the difference in what people see value in, Gary.
But that's paying for recruits, which is not what NIL is supposed to be about.
It's not what NIL deal is supposed to be about, Gary, but this is what it's turned to. So
I agree.
We got to use it for what it is. Social media is not what it was intended for either.
So that's what I'm saying.
Use it in the ways we use it.
I agree, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm trying to find alternatives to make it where it's not about recruiting, paying for recruits. Gary, that was the whole purpose of the 1 year.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, man. This next one, the transfer, and you have to sit a year, I still, in my opinion, think that's the dumbest rule that was ever put in place to begin with. If a coach is allowed to leave, Gary, whenever they want to leave, then players should have that same ability to leave, whether the coach can leave or not. I've always felt like players should have the same ability that coaches have if we're all employees at the university anyway.
Here's well, and again, I'm not against. Okay, that's fine. But then you only make it where they only transfer once, not seven times in 3 years.
Yeah, but you don't put that stipulation on a coach.
Well, coaches have to pay money back if they leave after they sign up somewhere new. Players don't have to do that. So there is something. Now, usually the team he's going to pays that to the college versus him having to pay it. Usually the team does that. There's usually a clause that they have to pay, but the team he's going to ends up paying that for him. The players don't have that, which that's why I was trying to give a penalty for coaches leaving. They have to lose a year of that salary, or not lose, but pay that salary to the current players for leaving them. But if you transfer, then you wouldn't get that money.
Now, that's the coolest one that I think that you came up with.
Yeah.
But no money rookie year.
Yeah.
So I come in, I'm that player, Gary, that just took the $4 million at Arizona State because I whiffed out on the $7 million in Miami because I was trying to take the $10 million at Florida State and they lied to me. So I went to Arizona State for the four. You're telling me my first year in college, you want me to struggle like all the people before NIL deal money and then get my money the second year? And then now, after I get it the second year, I now have to pay for college my third and fourth year based on what you said.
If you hit a certain amount of money, yes. I think it should be capped on the amount of money.
I already hit the $4 million.
Okay, then yeah. Then yeah. Because what is that going to cost you? $100,000?
It doesn't matter what it's going to cost me. It shouldn't cost me anything because
– Okay, well, I got an alternative then. So do you think if a player gets NIL money and they transfer – should they lose that NIL money because they're no longer using the name likeness at that college?
That's the question that's a better question.
Yeah. Right?
And I've been trying to figure that one out because my name and likeness at Alabama is not the same as my name and likeness at Alabama State.
Yeah. But if I paid you for Alabama name and likeness, you leave Alabama. So now you just took that money and ran. Should they have to pay that back? How do you go? That's another thing. How do you figure out the transfer? Because if you get NIL money, do you limit, hey, you can't transfer. You got NIL money or you pay it back or you got to give. How do you figure that out? Because they're going to spend all that money.
Here's the thing, though, Gary. I think it sounds like it's a social media setup thing where it's I'm paying you for you. So I don't care what team you are, because this is the LeBron James conversation. Where and I can thank him for that. LeBron James is the only person well, not the only person, and he made it famous where when he left, a whole fan base left with him, and they became fans of a person versus fans of a team. Because most people that are Michael Jordan fans, like lightweight or Chicago Bulls fans, because of the team that was surrounding him. A lot of people are just LeBron James fans, regardless who he played with. So if I'm paying for a name and likeness, it doesn't matter what team you're paying for. I'm paying for you as the person and yes. how you perform on the field.
Yes, but if I'm Alabama booster and I'm paying that and you leave Alabama, I'm heated because why did I paid you this money and you just left Alabama? Why, that's the only reason why I'm paying you. So maybe this is where you tie them together. If you get NIL money and you transfer, you have to sit out a year. So now you get your money. You get to keep all that money, but now you risk a year of eligibility because you got the NIL money. And maybe you put a cap on the amount of NIL that would go into place. So if you got over $1 million NIL and you transfer, well, now you have to sit out a year. If it's less than $1 million, then you don't have to sit out. Something like that. There's a way to compromise, I think, in that. So that way, whoever's paying the NIL, if that school or boosters are paying you, and you $5 million, and you're like, oh, I'm not starting this year. I'm gone somewhere else. Well, you just take that $5 million and run. Well, there should be some kind of penalty for you transferring. You just took $5 million and ran.
Gary, you said something earlier that I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. You said that if you would have got paid $8 to $10 million, I would have never made the league.
100%. I would have had no drive to play.
What?
Okay, so if you're thinking, okay, if I can get $8 to $10 million to play in college, I don't have to go to the NFL. I don't have to work longer. There's no guarantee I'm going to get that money in the league. But I'm guaranteed this money now? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Gary, okay, so let me back you up.
Just like you know, football, yes, you enjoy it, but you're doing it for the money.
Yes,
most people are doing it for the money.
You're not understanding what's going on here, Gary, and I don't think you're putting all the
I'm talking about me personally. Because
Gary,
I knew I wasn't considered a highly draft pick. So go ahead.
I'm going to tell you what you still not understanding about you in college. You still got to go to class. Still got to get up and do those workouts. You still got to do things that you don't want to do because it's associated with it. I understand the millions. I get it. Not everybody's making millions collectively, but they're making nice little lump sums of money where these checks are looking nice for certain individuals in college. But at the same time, Gary, you're going to get tired of getting up to go to class. You'll get tired of having to make those amateur decisions with millionaire intentions. So it's going to be very
Which proves my point. I would have never have made it to the league because I wouldn't have cared enough. I already got my – I might not even finish college.
Yeah, you would have. You would have because nobody wants to stay in class forever. And then everybody that has
– Well, you don't have to. Level. You could have just graduated and be like, nah, I'm good. I got $8 to $10 million. I'm not going to go play – I got drafted in the fifth round. I'm good. I'm not playing for – during our time, a four-year, $1.5 million contract or whatever it was I signed.
Well, let me tell you what it does for me, Gary. It makes me feel a lot better about myself when I see a – and I'm going to throw some names out there. When I see a Maurice Claret-type player that played in college that's absolutely phenomenal, and then it doesn't quite pan out and things happen or whatever, and there's no money made there. Because the money in college, Gary, NIL, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
No, but again, that you're still making the same point I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't have made it. I think it will start. We won't see. Well, there will be some players that won't make it to the league because of NIL money. Whether they were good enough or not, we'll never know.
Nah, Gary, I totally disagree. I agree that the players, I'm telling you right now, the players that make it to the National Football League are going to make it to the National Football League regardless. I'm excited about the guys that are making the NIL deal money that don't make it to the league, that are not good enough, but they're good enough for college.
I think what Gary's saying is somebody like him, he loves to travel, do all this other stuff. He just used football as a means to fund the lifestyle he wanted to live. If he could fund that lifestyle based on what he did in college, he wouldn't have kept playing football.
Yeah. Now it's different. You were a first round pick. So you were already guaranteed, you were a first round pick before they capped what first rounders could make. So like right now, like Marvin Harrison, he'll probably have a 4-year, $28 million deal, something like that. If he could have got $20 million for one more year in college, that was why I said that would have made more sense.
It doesn't make sense there.
But because he could have risked injury, but he was guaranteed that $20 million, like you said. He's not guaranteed $28 million because he could tear a knee first year and never play again. And now he doesn't get any of it. He gets maybe 12 of that million.
Yeah, nobody wants to get hurt in college.
Cause oh, I agree.
Draft status. Nobody wants to do that. For $20 million, you sound like you sold. Hook, line,
yes.
Sink.
I'm out. I'm in. No questions asked. Again, I didn't make $20 million in my career, so I would have definitely have taken that.
I mean, I think you know, Gary said this on a couple podcasts back, you know, that got put to the test. Gary had a chance to go keep playing his career for less money. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm out.
Yeah. I knew what I was worth. Yeah. They don't want to pay it. I'm good. I don't need it.
Yeah. Well, at some point when you're good, we all know our worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I get it. Cause I mean, I was the same way. Like once you like, okay, I hit my number. Like, yeah, I ain't just coming back for anything.
So that's probably what it is. D, you were already an anomaly being over 30 and still being a good running back.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is. He was already like LeBron of the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Longevity wise, but, yeah, no, it's just I see what Gary's saying, and I can totally, like, knowing Gary, I 100% believe that he wouldn't have made it because he would have got his money, and he'd been like, you know what, I just want to travel the world, I want to do what I do. Now, it would depend, because Gary's also, like, you both are, you know, very frugal, and so he's also one of those players that wouldn't have blown through his money, you know, because some people are going to do that. So even the people that, you know, have that money, they still might need the NFL as a means to get more money.
So I do have a question for both of you. Do you think there will be an issue because of all the transfers and the NIL money? The competition at positions aren't there anymore, because like Tyrann Mathieu said, he was with like three other who ended up being all pro NFL players were on his roster in college, and it made him a better player versus transferring somewhere else to be the guy the next year. He learned from them and got better and became that guy again, a better guy. Like, do you think we're going to lose that from some of the players just in general because it's so easy to transfer and play somewhere else? Hey, sorry, there's a guy ahead of me who's a lot better than me. I want to play this year. I'm gone so I can play. But you may not learn from that player, and you may not be the same type of player because of that. Do you think that will turn into an issue?
So Gary, I've had an issue.
Adversity and stuff too. Like,
no, I have an issue with answering this question because I've asked myself, do I want a close game or do I want a good game?
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask this question, like, are you saying like,
I'm talking about like if you like facing adversity. Oh, I'm not starting this year. That's an adversity. Are you going to come back and be the starter next year, work harder for it? Or are you just going to transfer to somewhere lesser and know I'll be the starter there? I don't have to work as hard to become the starter. That's facing adversity and overcoming it. Like, do you think that's going to happen for people? Because like that was part of the reason like I went to Louisville, because there was only going to be a senior. I'm like, well, I'm going to have a chance to fight to be the starter my sophomore year. So, like, I wanted that ability to have the fight for some. I could have went somewhere smaller and started as a freshman, but I didn't want to do that. that's not what I wanted to do. Like right now you're seeing kids transfer in as a freshman because they don't want to compete for the starting position their sophomore year at the college they're at. They just want to go to a smaller, lesser college and be the starter right away, guaranteed given to them. Like, do you think that's going to be an issue ever for players?
So Gary, this is the KD conversation all over again. Like, is KD that good because he went to a already championship team and played on that championship team and everybody questions. So how good is he really? What I'm saying is it doesn't matter.
I think it would be the opposite of KD though.
I think Gary, that people just want close game. It don't necessarily have to be competitive. As long as both teams are shitty and they give us a good game, we're going to accept it.
I'm not talking about teams. I'm talking about player individually.
You're talking about players individually quality-wise, right? Like the quality of play.
No. I'm just talking about, yeah. Like if you haven't faced adversity in your career, is that going to make you a good player or a great player or no? Like, because you're never faced adversity because it got tough. You just went somewhere else where it was easy for you. Yeah,
but here's the thing though, Gary, you don't have to experience adversity to be successful. Like, there's
but it does breed a different kind of animal in you when you have to fight for something. You know this. Like, it's a different animal when you have to fight for something versus handed to you.
Here's the thing, man. You got to understand where I'm coming from, and hear me out on this, Gary. I fought for something. You fought for something, Gary. Ray Lewis, he fought. Deion Sanders, bro, he fought for something.
Ray Lewis would kill for his opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
But what my whole point is this right here, Gary. My whole point is this right here. My kids, what did they have to fight for? Their kids, what do they have to fight for? Marvin Harrison Jr. right now playing Ohio State, turned down $20 million, Gary. You know why? Do you know why, Gary?
Because he doesn't need the money.
So when you say going through adversity, it puts that dog, that different. These kids that we see in today, Gary, we're all rich.
So they're certain rich kids. I'm not saying there's normal kids that are just transferring because they're not starting and they hit adversity. They're like, I'm going somewhere else so I have a chance to play. They're not coming from somewhere with money.
I like the
thing. I mean, look at Michael Jordan's kids. You know what I'm saying? They got the who people would say has one of the strongest competitive natures, wills, has some of the best genes, and didn't come into the league. Didn't make it to the league.
And then you have LeBron's kids who are only going to make it to the league because LeBron doesn't stop talking about them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. LeBron's kids could be another. No, LeBron's kids could be another example of what I'm saying. But you do have rare, you know, example, not rare. You do have examples of people's kids making it to the league. Steph Curry, Dale Curry. But I'm saying, a lot of these players that end up coming in and being all-time greats came from nowhere. Like, LeBron came from a single household or single mom household where they fought. He had to fight. He had to scrap. You know, same with, like, Michael Jordan. He didn't come from, you know, lots of money. So maybe there is something to be said about these players that had to, like, get through the trenches. You know, obviously, yes, having all these opportunities afforded to you is helpful, obviously. But there is also something to be said for, like y'all saying, or Gary saying, like that fight, that scrap that gets you to where you're going. And when you get there, you appreciate it, I feel like.
Because, D, I think you agree just in general. You believe that kids nowadays are coddled.
Bro, I do believe that. But I also believe, too, that you don't have to go through adversity to make – I don't feel like adversity should be – should mold who you are and mold your successes or make it
shouldn't, but it helps because you gotta think because if you never face adversity in your life and then when you're an adult, the first time you face adversity, it's going to destroy you because you don't know how to handle it.
No. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Like when we're talking about adversity, we're talking about a different adversity because all the adversities that I'm talking about are money related.
I'm not talking about anything money related. I'm talking about like just life adversity. Hey,
I'm talking about money adversity.
Yeah,
because
I'm not.
Money, and the reason why I'm talking about money adversity is because we talked about NIL deals, yeah, and we're still talking about that. So I'm talking about money adversity.
I'm talking about just regular versus like, hey, this guy's better than me, but I think I can beat him out for a starting position. But I'm just going to transfer somewhere else instead of having to try and do that and make myself a better player.
I'm going to tell you something, Gary. And this is the God honest truth, man. And this is just me talking to you and me talking to Tom. And I've said this before. My head coach, Tommy West, we can get him on and we can interview him and he can tell you this. My freshman year at the University of Memphis, I outrushed our starting running back. And I didn't play in as many games as he played in. He came to me and he told me before when camp broke, he was like, you are our best running back. But this guy's senior year, and he has been carrying the mail for us. We're going to ride the season out with him.
That was wrong by him as a coach.
And I understood what it meant. And because that was one of his guys that he took care of that was a transfer that he had to sit out a year, that he had already kind of promised a job to. So the fact that he kept his word, I understood that, because this guy was a transfer from Clemson. He set out a year to come to play his last year. You see what I'm saying?
So how much did you play though?
Well, I played quite a bit. I just didn't play more than he did.
Yeah.
I rushed for like 628 yards, and I was the first freshman to do it. I want to say rookie because of the NFL, but. Yeah. I was the first freshman to do it. And then after that, it was 1,900 yards after that because I was the starter after
that.
Well, the thing is, I was appreciative because he told me up front.
Yeah.
So if somebody came to me and told me that and I'm making X amount of dollars through NIL deal money, you're damn right I'm out. I'm out. It has nothing to do with me running from competition, because at that point, it ain't competition. It's coach's favorite.
No, I agree. It should never be a favorite. It should be best. Whoever's the best should play. That's my coaching philosophy, how I would handle it versus favorites.
Yeah.
If you're not good, if you're not as good as the person behind you, because I dealt with this personally. I was a sophomore in high school, DN, and there was a senior. That senior never played a down because I was better than he was in high school. And the coach was like, nah, I don't care. He's better than the senior. The senior was pissed, hated it. But I was better. I was a better defensive end than he was. So he never played. Coaches didn't apologize to him or not. I was better player. They let the better player play. That's just how it went. And then, so I basically adopted that mindset because it makes sense. You don't coddle it. You don't favoritism, because whoever's the best should play, because that's your best chance of winning. And that's what it's about.
So let me tell you something, Gary. This was my motto in high school when I coached the 1 year. And it'll be a shame for me to go back on my motto, so I'm going to have to rethink this whole thing. I don't think that there's kids that play bad football. I think that there's bad coaches. I'm going to give you an example. There was a running back. He had the worst hands on the team,
Gear. I remember that kid.
Yeah, worst hands on the team, Gear. And I would always – I come in and I see him and like I hear all the coaches talking about like, that kid can't catch, couldn't play dead in the water, you know, blah, 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 blah. All the things that you hear from coaches. And I go, hey, have you ever tried to work on his hands? And they go, it's pointless. He doesn't have hands. Like, why would you waste your time? And I go, well, have you ever tried to work with him? And they go, well, why? It's pointless. At the end of the season, Gary, we was relying on this guy to catch the ball for us and make significant plays and impacts by the end of the season, just me working with the kid, just getting him to catch the football, just going through drills and actually being a coach that we say that we are. We all fall victim, Gary, to if you don't flash and grab our attention by doing something, you'll never flash in our eyes because that's all we're looking for.
So I'll say yes and no. So I would say there are bad players, 100%. There are bad coaches, because if just using my example, We ran the same defense. We did the same plays. I just made more plays, and I listened, and I did what I was supposed to do better than that person. That is why I started over him. And I was just a better player. It wasn't something the coaches didn't work with him. They did everything he was supposed to. And again, he was starting the year before. I didn't play my freshman year. So, like, he was the starter. I came in and took his spot as a sophomore and didn't play my freshman year. So, like,
was that your goal going into the season, or it just happened?
I only played football because my baseball coaches were the football coaches and they asked me to play. That is the only reason why I started playing football in high school.
Are you serious?
I didn't want to play. I didn't like football. So I liked basketball the most, and baseball is what I had played the longest. I did not play freshman year. So after baseball season, the coach was like, why don't you come out for spring ball and just see if you like it? So I came out and I was good. I started as a freshman in our spring game. And so I was like, well, this is fun again. So then I played again. That's the only reason why I went out to play.
Somebody cue the humble music.
You can't steal my job. But that is literally the only reason why I played football, was because of the coaches. They asked me to play, to come out for spring ball, because they were my baseball coaches.
Oh, that's interesting.
Otherwise, I may not have ever played football.
You know, while we're speaking about this, this kind of brings up something I wanted to talk about today. And, you know, obviously the age that we are, we have kids and people are starting to hit their stride in Little League. And I saw on my Facebook the other day, one of my friends from high school put that he was disappointed in his son because they had chosen to go to the school dance over going to baseball practice. Do you think that is a bad choice, good choice, or insignificant? But
age.
I just thought it was
– I need to know what age.
They are 7th, 8th grade range.
For one, why there shouldn't be a practice that late if there's a dance. That's on the coaches. Practice should be as soon as school's over.
Yeah. But
so
I
put
just
that on
was...
the coaches more than the kid, because the kid's entitled to have his private, his student life. And if you're going to schedule a practice, you're going to know if people are going to miss it.
That's tough for me because I'm a go fun over work, and I'm a go school dance. In this case, I see a problem with everybody attacking the people that had to make a decision in this case versus saying, oh, I understand.
The problem is the coach. He should never have put the kids in that position. Either you don't have practice or you have practice as soon as school's over, so it's not during the dance, so they don't have to make a decision. It's a simple concept that there would never have been an issue if he just makes it. Because when I was in middle school, practice was always soon as school ended. So that way it ended by the time your parents got off work. Not it starts when parents get off work to bring you, and then you have something else. That's not how it usually worked. Again, I don't know where it was at. I don't know all the stuff behind it. But that was just how it worked when I was in middle school.
Gary, you also started playing football before
1427.
Too.
I know.
So.
But I was talking about baseball and basketball because I only played football 1 year in middle school. Again, I only played football 2 years before my sophomore year of high school.
And just like that, we're going to end the podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. Obviously, you can see that our gracious host is very humble.
Yeah, so, time.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm just glad that we got some sponsors on here now, even if it is the NWO. Real quick, I want us to tease this. I want to tease this for next week. I want y'all to be ready to talk about it. Do you like The Rock being back in the WWE? Do you think he's bringing some fun back into it, or do you think it's played tired? Because I have a group chat of friends, and there's one guy that's very adamant that The Rock's new shtick is a clown show, and that all it is them trying to get money.
I have a feeling we know what Time's going to say, but we'll wait till next week.
Until then, just ponder and wonder what the time is cooking, because we'll be back next week with another episode of the Cinnamon Sugar Podcast. Till then. We out.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage.